The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You want to watch us on Twitch, you can do that as well. Miss the first hour? Pretty sportsy, I would say. Sportsy and beery. But, well, whiskey-y.
Whiskey-y.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you saw this story, but as a college basketball guy, did you see the National College Players Association is calling on the NCAA to consider holding tournament games without fans due to its concern over coronavirus?
Oh boy, I didn't see that. That's one idea.
Yeah, boy, can you imagine what the atmosphere would be like?
It'd be coronavirus free, hopefully.
Well, yeah. I mean, are we really that scared of this thing,
dude? People are dying. Yeah. Yeah. And there's no answer for it. It's kind of scary.
I don't know. I'm not scared.
All right. I mean, it'll take you before it takes me. You should be scared.
Listen, bring it on.
Okay.
Coronavirus, Corona Light virus, either one.
All right. Jackie's virus.
Yeah. Tecate. No, I don't know. I'm sure it's going to get around here at some point because apparently it's going everywhere, but it just seems like we're either going to get it or we're not going to get it. It's just how soon do you get it, I think.
But I also think you can take preventative measures. That's possible.
Yeah, okay, so no, well then.
I don't know about not playing games in front of crowds.
Why are we having fans at anything then? Why are people at spring training games? Why are people going to NBA games? Well, if we're that worried.
I think the difference is the athletes are probably asking for that because since they're not getting paid, it doesn't seem like it's worth the risk.
Stop. They're not getting paid. You kidding me?
They're not all getting paid.
Well, the big boys are certainly getting plenty of money.
Yeah.
928S, AJ, how far do you see Arizona going in the tourney? Loads of talent, but super young and inconsistent.
I don't trust Arizona. I don't like their coach. I don't think they're very good, honestly. You're right. They do have loads of talent, but I just don't think that's a very good team.
The other question was about Oregon. What do you?
I like Oregon a lot. I have a future on Oregon that I kind of believe in. I think they're the best team in the Pac-12. The thing that worries me about Oregon is their home road splits are pretty fantastic too. So that's a team that if they're playing on their crazy ass floor, then they're tough to beat. But they've lost to some meh teams away from home. So. But that's really most teams in the country. That's what most of their resumes are.
315 says he would love a futures ticket on an American team winning the NIT. They do look like, all of them kind of look like NIT teams, don't they?
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to go up against Jason Braddock's Clemson NIT ticket.
Just go cry in your football championship.
I don't know who I would say now if I had to choose a team to win the NIT. Of the teams that I have out right now, the team that I feel the best about in like a tournament setting would probably be – I kind of like Utah State.
Okay.
I'd like Georgetown if they were healthy. I don't know if they'll be healthy. Maybe Mississippi State. Maybe Arkansas. Arkansas was a team that early in the season looked like they were going to be pretty legit, and then they lost their best guy. Well, their best, not their best player, but they're probably their glue guy, their senior leader guy for five games, and they went 0-5, and they went from basically a lock being in to now they're bubble fodder. So Arkansas is a team that could be dangerous with Isaiah Joe back. But that's the weird thing about this season and there not being very many good teams to make the tournament. That means the teams that are making the NIT, they ain't real good at all. So there's a lot of meh teams in college basketball this year.
Well, that's why I kind of wonder, you talk about the American, because all those teams sound like what you just described, not UH, but all the other ones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes me wonder how many of those teams actually get in. Like you said, it could be a one bid league. Could they conceivably get three or four?
Oh, no. I don't think so. I don't think
because,
so.
Now. I mean, how do you separate those guys?
I mean, you look at their quad one wins, things like that. And
I mean, but they're all almost the same. Like, other than Wichita, Wichita is actually, I mean, I guess.
I think the max that can get in would probably be three.
Okay.
Because they're going to have to, they'll have to eat each other at some point to get in.
Which is kind of what they've been doing.
So I think the team that has the best shot outside of UH and Wichita is Cincinnati. And I did I did my brackets again after yesterday's game, and I have Cincinnati in my first four out. And they were honestly probably maybe my first or second team out. So they're really close. But yeah, I don't, you're right. It is tough to separate those teams, but it would also be really easy just to leave them all out. So I don't think anybody's going to be like, oh, we've got to get this AAC team in. I don't see that.
It's hard. It's hard for me, as much as I've watched a lot of it, AAC basketball. It's hard for me to sit here and pound the table for anybody.
It's really almost impossible.
And just like, yeah, okay. If they got in, it wouldn't surprise me. If they didn't, wouldn't surprise me.
Yep.
But, I mean, and then there's always going to, I guess a lot comes down to upsets in the leagues that,
you know, yeah,
or one bid leagues that those teams are going to make it is at large.
Although there's very few of those now. I mean, there's very few of those this year. Teams that would be an at large if they don't win their conference, like in the small conferences. Like you can maybe look at Northern Iowa would be one. They might be the only one. Liberty, I guess, but I think Liberty sucks too. They haven't really played anybody. They play in a really bad conference. And they don't have any quality wins. They just have a lot of them. So my guess is they'll have to win their conference too. So yeah, I think that's the one thing that is working in their favor is there's not a lot of those. You know, if they don't win the league, they're gonna take up an at large bid. Most of the at large bids this year, I think, are gonna go to the big boy conferences.
Which gets back to where we were talking about how many of the Big Ten get in, for instance.
I think that it's the number's down. It's probably looking more like 9 or 10 now. It's still a big number. But I think some of those teams, like we kind of assumed they would, have cannibalized themselves and fallen off the map. And some of them honestly don't deserve to be in. Sorry, Purdue. Sorry, Minnesota.
Has Baylor lost some shine here over the last week, or is it just late season kind of eh?
I mean, they've certainly lost some shine because for a while it was their only... You know, them in Kansas, their only losses were to each other.
Right.
So now we're seeing that they're vulnerable to teams that aren't named Kansas, and that makes you go, oh. But they're still amongst a top group of teams that, you know, that isn't Kansas right now. I think kind of most people are kind of agreeing that Kansas is they're the team to beat. That's the most complete team. They've got good guard play. They've got good coaching. They've got a great big, probably the best big in the country as far as like a rebounder. So that's a team that everybody's going to like. But after that, it's kind of I guess I like this team or I like this team. But there's nobody that you're like, oh, this is the absolute second team. Yeah. And I think before last week, I think a lot of people thought that was Baylor.
Or Gonzaga. Up until
and Gonzaga lost a game. They lost a game to BYU on the road. I don't know if there's any crime in that. And a lot of people think that BYU plays in a crap conference. I'm telling you now, that the WCC is pretty good. They're before the tournament's been played. They're a three bid league because Gonzaga's obviously they're gonna be a one seed. BYU and St. Mary's are both easily on the right side.
You've been saying that's a better basketball league than the Mountain West for a while.
Oh, way better. Yeah, way better.
Hey, I do a quick shout out to our friends at Eighth Wonder. Remember when they came in a couple weeks ago? They're releasing that TEX beer.
Yes.
Which is their first light beer. They're doing that today. And it's on tap now at the Flying Saucer in Sugarland. It'll be downtown at 6 o'clock. $4 okay. drafts all night. So
the land of sugar.
If you want to go check that out.
Is it not at their place?
Well, I'm sure it'll be at their place too, but this is for sure the, I don't know. That's a good question, but I think it's definitely at the Sugar Land. It's making its debut on tap. It says it's Sugar Land at 5 o'clock, downtown at 6 o'clock.
All right.
So go to one of the Flying Saucers. All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Just give me
something to believe in. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. You know what I like is people are starting to get interested in college basketball. And you've been here all along. Like, everybody else is going to act like they know what they're talking about here over the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
You kind of know your stuff on this.
That's okay.
Any chance SFA could get an at-large if they don't win theirs?
I don't think so. But I also don't think there's much chance of them not winning their conference tournament.
I have some non-sportsy news, if that's okay.
Okay.
Where do you stand on herpes-carrying monkeys?
I'm against it.
I think I'm against it, too. Well, guess what? Silver Springs, Florida, an invasive species of herpes-carrying monkeys is growing in size, raising the possibility of confrontations with humans and expansion of the non-native primates' range beyond a river in Florida. In other words, these things are growing fast, obviously spreading herpes to each other, and they were brought in to the Silver River near Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, now they're starting to take over.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. That's two today so far. It says, unless there is some management action by the state to curtail their numbers, it's going to create a situation where they will be forced to take more drastic action due to a serious incident. About a quarter of the
monkeys. Why do monkeys always have disease?
Well, about a quarter.
I'm against that.
A quarter of them carry the herpes B virus, which I don't know the herpes
alphabet.
I'll be honest. But,
I mean, as someone who can firmly say I will never have relations with a monkey, I'm not really worried about their STDs. That's fine. If they want to have them, let them have them.
Well, remember,
can they pass it?
Caesar started off as a friendly thing, too, and look what happened. That's how Planet of the Apes starts.
True.
Says hundreds of bites and scratches occur every year in monkey facilities. Says people rarely get infected with B virus, the CDC says. But you don't have to have sex with one.
Okay.
They can scratch you.
Oh. Well, I honestly don't really ever interact with monkeys at all.
Well, if these things get past this river and get all over the place and get aggressive.
You're telling me you're not worried about coronavirus, but you're worried about this?
Well, yeah, because I haven't seen the coronavirus movie. I've seen the monkey movie.
You never saw that movie, Outbreak?
Yeah, that wasn't coronavirus.
I think it was.
No, that one was actually killing a whole bunch of people. This one is just a more, it's a slightly more deadly flu.
All right.
And somebody brings up a good point. You're talking about Florida.
That's true.
You don't think that, I just got one of those quick reminder that tomorrow is election day. Remember to vote for this person.
I had no idea.
Yeah. The only candidate endorsed by President Trump and Senator Cruz.
All right.
I don't know how you guys got my number, but everyone who's texting me, I'm not voting for you. Yeah, coronavirus 2020, monkey herpes 2021. I'm just trying to let you guys know to watch out for herpes monkeys. I mean, they're actually rebooting that whole series, too. So the monkeys, to me, more dangerous than the coronavirus long term.
All right. I'll disagree.
No, you're younger. You should be more worried about the long term. Like, if this kills me now, big deal.
That's true.
But those monkeys get you in 5 years.
No, you're right.
It's going to be a lot worse.
No, you're right.
I'm just trying to help. Just trying to warn the people about the things they should be afraid of. That's all. Speaking of which, I guess we're down to four in the Democratic race now.
Who dropped?
Mayor Pete.
Oh, yeah. I knew that one.
And Amy Klobuchar, who...
Let's face it. That was never real.
I didn't,
so we're down.
She's not a real person.
To Bernie.
We're old man.
Biden.
Retread.
Elizabeth Warren.
School teacher.
And mini Mike Bloomberg.
Rich guy.
Okay.
Nice.
So basically we're saying one of those four people and Trump, one of those five people is going to be our president for the next 4 years.
Apparently so.
That's extremely disappointing.
Well, I mean, anybody I like never has a chance.
No, I know.
I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
So.
You go with the flow.
Yeah. I mean, Trump's winning. I don't think there's any doubt.
So?
I'm not sure.
What are the odds you're putting it on?
I'm going to say
65?
70%.
Ooh, strong. All right.
So, I mean, do you look at any of those candidates and say, oh, yeah, this is the guy who's going to beat Trump?
I don't know. I mean, I if you look at the internet, which is clearly not a great, indicator of what people are actually going to... People talk about Bernie, like, if everybody that tweeted and Instagrammed and talked about Bernie and made TikTok videos and all that crap about Bernie actually went out and voted for him, he'd probably win. But the truth
what
is...
What about the hot women for Bernie?
There's about 20% of those people that are actually going to get out and vote. So, you're probably right.
Yeah. I don't even care anymore. I really don't, but I don't know. I always want something different. And this is basically the same old group. And yeah, you're right. One of these five people is going to be president.
Yep.
For the next 4 years. I'm going to check the odds on Trump, though, because I'm pretty sure that's where my bet's going to go. Probably getting a minus number, though. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And somebody's asking, why were the monkeys brought in? They were basically, they brought them into this place as an aesthetic, basically. It's a park, so they wanted monkeys, and they brought them in.
Yeah.
And this is not that new, because in 2017 they had to shut down two areas because of aggressive monkey behavior towards visitors. So, but they came for a cruise boat company, and its native departs of Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, China,
mm-hmm,
and other areas of Southeast Asia. So it was their popularity as attractions that brought them to Silver Springs almost 90 years ago.
Hey.
So, but they've gone crazy since then. And
you hate to see it.
You know, 90 years.
You hate to see it, Fred.
Just, Somebody says Elizabeth Warren's now the youngest candidate at 70.
Oh, really? Is she 70?
Yeah, I think I don't know.
You know what? Not bad for 70.
Oh, I would.
She's held up nicely. Yeah. Good skincare regimen, I guess. Good for her.
So.
Why is no one willing to vote for like a 40 something?
I honestly would. If there were a good one, and I don't really care what party they are, if it's somebody who could inspire the country a little bit, why don't we get younger? I'd totally be cool with that. So. But, you know, like I said, my opinion doesn't matter.
Because how old was Obama when he got elected?
That's a good question.
I mean, he was in his 40s, I guess.
Yeah,
he was relatively young. To late 40s.
Somebody said Tulsi is still running. Is she? Good luck. Is she even on the stage?
I don't know. You know, Obama was 47 years old.
Okay.
He was the fifth youngest president ever elected. Theodore Roosevelt. Did you know that? Youngest president ever elected?
Teddy didn't look young.
At 42. And then John Kennedy, 43. Bill Clinton, 46.
Wow, I didn't realize Clinton was that young at the time.
Ulysses S. Grant, 46. And then Barack Obama, 47. So you got to be 35 to be president.
Right. You know what? I'd like a 30-something. I'd like somebody late 30s.
Late 30s, early 40s. Yeah. That's what I would go for.
Yeah, let's...
I mean, honestly, I would vote for Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow, absolutely. Can we clone him? And how long would the cloning process take?
I don't know.
He also gets an asterisk because he took over the presidency when McKinley was assassinated. So he was the incumbent in the next election, but he had taken it over from being vice president.
It's not an asterisk. What are you're putting an asterisk on everything now.
So he won the election at age 46.
Yeah.
So he would have been the second youngest elected president.
Yes. He was vice president when he first took office.
Hmm. He's really old now. He was born in the 1800s, which is kind of gross when you think about it. You're the only other guy I know that was born in the 1800s.
He's a skeleton now. I hate to tell you that.
Oh.
Yeah.
He passed?
Yes.
Ooh, awkward.
Hockley Dan says, Fred, Thanos and herpes-infected monkeys. What else do you need to start a novel? The problem is those have all been done. I mean, maybe combine them all. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And put your money on it. I'm a kamikaze. Oh, I went down with my wings on
fire. Guess I'll see you in another life. You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And guess what it's time for? The legendary draft expert, all-around good guy, Lance Zierlein, back from Indianapolis. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I saw snow.
What?
Yeah, 2 days of it. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Heard you talking about that this morning.
You know, John, the cynical Chicagoan, he doesn't want to see snow the rest of his life. I'm still like a little kid.
Yeah, I don't like snow.
Did you ever live where there was snow?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, I guess.
Where'd you live where there was snow?
In northwestern New Mexico.
For military purposes?
No. No, I lived there. I moved there in junior high for a little while. Did some of this, half my high school was in New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And then it snowed when I was in the military. It snowed in Kentucky sometimes, but I mean not a whole lot. But I just don't like it.
You see snow plenty.
It's a mess.
Well, that's what I've heard.
The wife likes snow. She doesn't like shoveling it, and she doesn't like cold anymore either. When she goes up there, it's even for a week she just wants it to be warm. And I'm like, okay. And if it gets cold down here, she bitches. I'm like, dude, you grew up in -25.
I know zero people who move from cold who like cold. They all get soft. Yeah. It's funny how many people at NFL Network have come from, you know, Chicago and Indiana and Minnesota, and they all say they're the biggest babies now because they live in LA, and it's once you've gone to that kind of weather, it's over. It's a wrap.
Well, let's get into what you saw other than the snow, because I mean, kind of the big story that we talked with you about last week was, you know, people asking Jalen Hurts if he'd be willing to move positions. And then by all accounts, Jalen Hurts he gave off a vibe that, hey, you don't need to ask me to move positions. I'm pretty good at this. He had a pretty good show in there.
Yeah, he did. He did. You know, my whole point was it's okay to ask or to try to get that out
I'm
there.
With
but
you.
As I mentioned to you in that same conversation, I feel like he's clearly a quarterback. I mean, I have no doubt about that. It's a question of how good a quarterback do you think he is? And I tell you, I think he helped himself. I think, you know, I'm going to go from a 6.0 grade to a 6.1, and that's kind of a big deal because a 6.0 is a developmental grade. It's raw, but has some, some traits or athletic ability to build on. It's really more between a career backup and the potential to do a little bit more potential, you know, you have some upside maybe that's still left to explore. But at a 6.1, that's basically me saying he's got a chance to be a decent backup. And then maybe down the road could be a low-end starter. I just don't view him as
he's not an everyday starter. I don't believe it either. But how much of your grade on him is his potential to play a sort of a dual role, like a Taysom Hill type role?
Well, if you told me he would never be able to run the ball at all again on a called run, then he doesn't have the same value. Okay. I mean, he's a 5.0. He's not going to sit and beat you from the pocket. He didn't do it with great receivers at Alabama. He didn't really consistently do it the way I need to see.
If you take away design run, is he a draftable player?
No. Back into the draft to me.
Okay.
I mean, his ability to run the football or to get tough yards, that's it's a talent. It's a talent, and it can be a skill, and part of it has to do with his toughness. But if you told me he just had to sit in a pocket and try to beat you all day, he doesn't throw with good enough anticipation. He doesn't throw with consistent enough ball placement against top end talent. So that's not who he's going to be. But when you take the whole package and you take the way the NFL is leaning, I know a lot of people will want to focus on Lamar Jackson, but Taysom Hill, as you mentioned, when he's been a quarterback, or if you want to look at, what Tebow did, which that was my comp initially. Although I think that Dak Prescott comparison is not a bad one, but it's actually not a bad one because I saw Dak Prescott as a fourth round quarterback. I saw him as a career backup, but a good backup, and he's certainly become much better than that. Now I think Dak was a better passer than a more complete passer than Jalen Hurts, but not by a lot. And Jalen Hurts, I think, has pretty decent arm talent. I thought he threw the ball pretty well at the combine. So he helped himself. Me going from a 6.0 to a 6.1, that's kind of a big deal. And I think Jalen's going to go in the third round, which is pretty good.
I heard a couple of people saying Mekhi Becton, come before this week, people were kind of high on his tape. Were you kind of high on his tape before this week?
Yeah, I like, for me personally, I like Jedrick Wills better. But Mekhi Becton has some wow moments on tape. He's a 350-pound man who is 17% body fat and can move and is extraordinarily strong, just physically. It can be a mauling physical guy. So he's got a lot of upside because of what he's able to potentially do because of his size and length and all that stuff. I don't think he's, I think Jedrick Wills from Alabama is the best tackle. But when you see a big guy move like that, it's just kind of freaky. Yeah.
And it definitely raises some eyebrows. I'm always fascinated when there's a receiver, and it's a receiver pretty much every year, who kills it at the combine and is now an it prospect all of a sudden. And I mean, we've seen some have success, we've seen some not have success. I mean, DK Metcalf was kind of that guy last year, and he looks like
it kind of went away, like all the buzz went away because
seems like
of
a pretty solid
drill.
Player.
Yeah,
but I remember Darius Hayward Bay, and his combine got him, I think, in the top 10, and he's not a good football player,
right?
Denzel Mims seems to be that receiver from this combine. What did you think of what you saw out of him?
So Denzel Mims to me is a real receiver. He's not a speed guy who flashes. I heard a very interesting stat about the amount of receivers who have run 4.3 40s that actually became good players in the NFL. And I think the point is you can be as fast as you want, but if you can't control your speed for routes and for the purposes of being an NFL receiver, it's not, your top end speed is great, but playing the position there's a lot more to it than just running in a straight line. And if you can't control your speed and the quickness that you move with, it's and how you control it, getting in and out of breaks and things like that, then it's not as effective. And Mims is a legitimate wide receiver. Mims can run routes. Mims has the ability to make things happen with his speed. So all that did was just, I think that elevates his stock because because it shows what he's capable of if he gets down the field with an NFL, you know, an NFL quarterback. My problem with Denzel Mims is he doesn't get off of the press very well. So physical cornerbacks, I don't know what his 40 time is going to have to do with that. Like, that's still going to be an issue for him. That's not going to change. Playing with toughness against tough cornerbacks, that's still going to be an issue unless he proves it's not. And he had trouble against a guy like Jeff Gladney, who was a cornerback out of TCU. When he got in his face, he just didn't, you know, he didn't seem to want it as badly. He wasn't as physical and wasn't as tough. So running fast in a straight line is great, and being a route runner with like Denzel Mims is great, and winning balls in the end zone when you throw them up in the air is great. But on a day-to-day basis, can you – if you got a dog in front of you, or can you be a dog back? And I, you know, that really can't be answered at a combine.
Well, let's talk about a guy that I kind of all year long was saying I thought was maybe the best. I shouldn't say maybe he is the best. I don't know. He didn't get as much love as some other guys. I think Isaiah Simmons is a great football player. I think he's extremely versatile. I think he can do pretty much anything you want him to do. I thought that all along. And then he comes and does what he did at the combine. Right. And now it's like, is this guy Superman? Is he from this planet? Mm-hmm. It's got to be. I mean, and what's the top end of where we could see him go?
Top end is fourth.
Okay.
With the Giants.
It feels like a steal, honestly, because he might be the best player.
So fourth. But here's the thing with him is teams are trying to figure out who he's going to be for them, because his instincts and kind of feel for the linebacker position aren't there yet. It's still new for him. So he's got to get used to taking on blocks. He's got to get used to seeing the football at a different angle if he's going to play linebacker. If he plays safety, well.
Wait, are they going to ask him to change positions? That's pretty racist.
Well, which. Yeah, I don't know what position he is right now.
Oh,
like,
boy.
He started off as a DB and then they changed him. You know, before they sent out, they changed him to linebacker. So, but there are some NFL teams who kind of view him more as like that Cam Chancellor robber position that mm-hmm. you can drop down a little lower, or a box safety that you can play over the tight end, slot tight ends you can cover. That's the point. He does a lot of different things, and he's freaky in terms of length, speed, explosiveness, all that stuff. The way I see him is, you got to figure out how you're going to use them on just regular downs against regular teams. But the value that I see, AJ, is when you're playing Lamar Jackson, now you got a guy that can kind of spy him and cause some problems for Lamar Jackson. If you're playing a zone read, now you got a guy that can rush down off the edge on that mesh point, and the quarterback's going to have a little harder time making decisions, because he can bounce, you know, laterally to get the running back, or if you try to pull it and run, he can bounce, you know, laterally the other direction and go get the quarterback. He's got the ability to cover. He's got the ability to run sideline to sideline. So I think he's going to be like a Will linebacker who plays off the ball and away from the offensive, away from the line of scrimmage, and they're just going to let him run like crazy. And then when it's time to match up against, now all of a sudden you got a special toy to match up with Travis Kelce. When Kelce comes to town, now you got this guy. When Lamar Jackson comes to town, now you got this guy. And he's kind of a weird equalizer like that. So I agree with you. His traits, his physical traits, and his explosiveness, that, you know, that just, that's hard to find.
The guys who, and I actually didn't get to see either of these guys throw, but I heard not anything good about either one of them, and you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but both the two former Georgia quarterbacks, Jacob Eason and Jake Fromm, from all accounts, had just horrible, horrible times throwing the ball.
I thought Eason was okay. I didn't think it was that bad. The problem for Fromm, though, was that Fromm came after Eason, who's got a big arm. So here's Fromm, or here's Eason, who's 6'6", and like has a pretty big arm. His placement wasn't great. That's probably, in accuracy, was just spotty, which is probably what you're referring to. The problem is you could see how lively the arm was, and you could see the size. So coming right after him in alphabetical order was Jake Fromm, and here's this short quarterback with, you know, kind of stubby arms, these small hands, and the ball just doesn't come out with a whole lot of zip. And it just looked, the optics just weren't great. There's nothing you could do about it. But I went down behind the quarterbacks just to watch him throw and to get a feel for how they threw and what the ball sounded like when it came out. And it just, you know, it was just different. Herbert was really good. Easton had some zip. Love has some zip. And then like Fromm just boop, just little pop gun arm. It was it was not good. And I dropped, you know, I dropped him a full grade class from a 6.2 to a 6.1. So I'll have him ahead of Jalen Hurts, but not by a whole lot.
So after all the dust, and apparently the medicals on Tua look good. Everybody's excited about the medicals on Tua.
That's what they're saying. I think third pick is his sweet spot now. It's not five anymore. I think it's three.
So what's your top five quarterbacks looking like right now?
So I've got it. Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Love, and Eason. But there's a big drop from Love to Eason, and there for me is a jump from Herbert to Love, and then there's a big jump from Tua to Herbert.
Okay. You say Burrow and then Tua. Is that your take on them, or is that the like where you assume they'll go? Like if you
– That's my
take. In a vacuum, if I said you can have one of these two guys, you take Joe Burrow. That's my take,
and I think how they go, I think it's going to be Burrow – Tua, and I think right now it's kind of a toss-up between Love or Herbert who goes first. I mean, it's really going to depend on the team and their particular flavor. There's a thought that Herbert doesn't have the same upside that Love does, but that Herbert might be a little bit safer than Love. So it's really going to depend on the offense coordinator, and I'm assuming Miami 5, Chargers 6, potentially Colts at, 13, Raiders at 12. Those are the kind of teams where you're going to have to figure out who they, you know, what is their style of quarterback that they like.
Well, great stuff, man. Appreciate you coming in. How'd you like the whiskey there?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's good. It's got a little, well, I mean, it's...
It's got a little whiskey to it.
Yeah, it's whiskey. Yeah. What am I supposed to say? Yeah. It's going to have some bite on it.
Yeah,
this is a really smooth sipping whiskey.
Maybe not, but yeah, we're gonna age some beer in that, and it's gonna be really good.
Oh, that's got a proof in it.
Yeah, it does.
It's got some alcohol content.
It does. That'll
put hair on your chest.
I've noticed it's got a little alcohol content in it.
That'll put hair on your chest.
I'm looking forward to the beer. I want to check it out when you're done.
Well, we'll have a version that is not barrel aged that'll be ready here pretty soon. So I'll let you know.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. That's Lance Zierlein. From NFL.com. When's your next mock draft due?
March.
Oh,
it
is March. Do you mean like today?
No. Crap, I got to see. I'm not sure.
Oh,
I think in a week, actually.
Oh, boy. You better get to work.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz.
Thank you for having me.
What do you mean?
It's good to be back.
It's your show.
I know, but it's good to be back.
Oh, okay. It's that time again. ESPN 97.5 Second Annual Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light Seltzer.
Second annual?
Yeah. We did it last year.
I know, but haven't we done it more years than that?
Not this way, no.
Oh, okay.
This was because Courtney did this last year.
Right.
And, yeah, now this is this year. She's been here, 2 years?
So. Okay. Well, it's her second annual. It's not like ESPN 97.5 got – it came into fruition when Courtney showed up.
No, but
we've been doing this thing for a long time without her.
But not this way with the 97.5 prizes and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
And all these sponsors, which I need to go ahead and mention now. So it's that time again, ESPN 97.5 Second Annual Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light Seltzer, supported by Four Roses Bourbon and Boost Mobile. We'll be giving away 97.5 prizes to the top 97.5 winners. And did we mention this is all free? Just head to ESPN975.com to enter, and you can win prizes like gift cards to Roosters Men's Grooming, iRace Entertainment, Pitch 25, Heights Beer Garden, Holman Draft Hall, and much more. It's Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good. Also, you can go to sportsmap.com if you want to sign up.
All right.
So 97.5 people or 97.5 prizes? I guess I'm curious about the half prize. Is that like you get a gift card that's...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
So regardless. Okay, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
This one's just for you.
Thank you.
A recent survey took a look at how likely Americans are to stay at home from work when they're sick.
I hope they all do.
Well, according
to... We know they don't.
A report from Robert Half, 57% of employees sometimes go to work while sick, and 33% always go to work while sick, which means that as many as 90% of workers go to work while under the weather.
This is why I don't like people. Everybody always says, oh, you're so grumpy. Because people like this. This is why. This is why people, nobody's good. 90%, you say?
90%.
There's five of us here right now.
Right.
I know I don't go to work sick, and I'm not great at math, but like, it seems like the rest of y'all do. So
I'm gonna dispute that, sir.
All right. Oh, you've come in sick before.
No,
because you over there hacking and coughing and sneezing. You've done it. Don't you lie.
Oh well, but it wasn't contagious.
Oh, I don't know that. Well, germs are germs. You're sick.
That was a sinus infection.
By the way, that's the number one thing that everybody who comes to work sick, that's what they say. Oh, don't worry. No,
that's not what Barry said when he was in here.
Barry, he just said it's the flu. Get the hell out of here.
No, I actually went to a doctor, was told it was a sinus infection, and was not in any way communicable. Sorry.
I don't know who that doctor was.
Well, you show me your PhD in medicine, and I'll start listening to you.
I don't have one. My PhD says don't show up at work sick. Oh, that's I went to the medical school of hard knocks.
Yeah. Tell you what, if I want to know about radio, I'll ask you a question. Or if I want to know about music, I'll ask you a question.
That's all I know about. That's all I'm good for. I know
stick the radio.
I know about not showing up at work sick.
Listen, I would trust one of those TV doctors over you.
Like, which one? House?
Yeah, House would be good.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
That's probably the only one I know of, though.
George Clooney was a doctor on TV.
Yeah, but he was just there because he was a handsome.
What about Grey's Anatomy?
I hate that show.
Who's your favorite character?
The dead guy, Patrick Dempsey's character.
Well, more than me.
Only because I only know because I liked him a lot in Mobsters when he was young.
Okay.
He played Meyer Lansky, who's in my top five all-time gangsters. Yeah.
You know who my favorite doctor on Grey's Anatomy is? That girl.
Well, that could be any one of those.
The lady
girls.
Doctor.
I hate that show so much.
Mrs. Anatomy. Dr. Anatomy.
No, she's Dr. Gray, I think.
Dr. Gray.
Hence the...
Yeah, she's the best one. Mm. Can you dispute it?
Well, not really.
Okay, well, it shows that I've got better taste in doctors than you.
Not necessarily. So, it says easy to call into work if you have paid sick leave. Go to work sick or, you know, risk getting your hours cut. Nobody wants to...
That's a great thing when you do hourly work. Get all the other people who do hourly work sick, too. That's really thoughtful of you. Making America great again.
Dr. Phil's a great doctor, somebody said.
He is a pretty good doctor. I don't know what he's a doctor of. Dr. Drew? Dr. Ruth?
Now, I can get behind that.
Dr. Pepper?
No.
Uh-oh. You don't like Dr. Pepper?
I wish
they made a Dr. Pepper Zero. How come they haven't done that yet?
Because it's what makes it taste good is it's so full of sugar. There's no way they could do that.
Well, Diet Dr. Pepper is disgusting.
Yeah, that's the point. Now you can't make it a zero because I wish they would make all of them zeros, though. Everything should be zero now.
I got a political text.
Uh-oh.
Vote for Mary Nan Huffman. I think that they are trying to trick me because her last name's close to mine.
Yeah.
It says she is the experienced conservative choice for Harris County. I don't even know what she's running for. They should probably tell you that in the text. I'm not voting for Mary Nan. Honestly, you send me that text, it's an automatic. I'm not voting for you.
That's how I feel.
And Mary Nan Huffman, I'm not going to tell people how to vote, but I'm saying publicly, I will not be voting for you. You've lost my vote, Mary Nan. I don't like that middle name either, Nan. I don't trust you. What's that stand for?
Deacon says Dr. McDreamy is dead. Well, I guess I don't need to go start at 15 seconds
now. Yeah, spoiler alert. Jeez.
Thanks, Fred.
I'm pretty sure that show is still going strong.
Oh, it's still going because that's one of the ones that the wife always has on when I know she's pissed at me when I come home. Because she knows what time I get home. She knows I'm not going to watch that crap. It's like that and This Is Us. If those are on, it's like she's just trying to chase me upstairs. Dr. Dre is the best doctor of them all.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, everybody says that one. So, all right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.